Support for this live stream comes from First Community, offering a competitive dividend rate on certificates of deposit. CDs are federally insured with a guaranteed return on investment. FirstCommunity.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, October 2nd. I'm Abby Larico. St. Louis Public Schools Acting Superintendent Millicent Borichade is trying to address concerns in the district about many issues, including transportation.
As the interim superintendent, I was frustrated along with our parents that we didn't have this right, and here we are 6 weeks into school, and we're still working on getting it right.
She'll talk about it with St. Louis Public Radio reporter Lucretia Wembley. Plus, all this week, we're bringing you stories produced by participants in the NPR Next Gen Radio Project held in St. Louis, focused on the meaning of home. For a traveling nurse, introducing a local dish to people far away was a step in bringing him back to St. Louis.
Okay, I want to make some gooey butter cake and bring it to this house and show all these Mainers, that's people from Maine.
That's all coming up after this news on The Gateway. Crime numbers in the city of St. Louis continue to improve. St. Louis Metropolitan Police Chief Robert Tracy delivered the first of what he says will be regular quarterly briefings on the data on Tuesday. Homicides are continuing to decline from a near record high in 2020. There have also been large decreases in theft, especially stolen cars, compared to the same time last year. Shootings and burglaries are the two areas where numbers are up compared to 2023. Tracy says his detectives have wrapped up some major burglary investigations.
We were able to successfully arrest five individuals between the ages of 16 and 19 early this summer, and more arrests will be forthcoming.
Tracy also says a new ordinance making it illegal for someone to openly carry a gun without a concealed carry permit is allowing police to address juvenile shootings. Starting this month, Missouri's Medicaid program will no longer reimburse the cost of at-home COVID-19 tests. Mandates from the Federal Public Health Emergency and the American Rescue Plan Act have expired, meaning MoHealthNet no longer needs to provide coverage for Medicaid recipients. Bill Morrissey is the head pharmacist at Kilgore's Medical Pharmacy. He says Medicaid covers the state's most vulnerable people, who sometimes don't have money to pay for tests.
And so if a person has an opportunity to, hey, here's a free one the health department's giving out, or, oh, I'm at the pharmacy and I've got an extra $10, maybe I have one in my medicine cabinet just in case.
But Morrissey says that now some people will wait until they're already sick to look for affordable tests. Missouri Medicaid will still pay for most lab tests taken at a doctor's office, but Morrissey still recommends trying to stock up on at-home tests so people don't have to leave their homes while sick or expose themselves to illnesses. Beloved actor and St. Louis native Ken Page has died. The Broadway star, who returned home for dozens of roles at the Muni, achieved his widest fame from a film role. St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin reports.
Ken Page played key roles in the original Broadway casts of The Wiz and Cats before he voiced an animated character who introduced him to a new audience. That's the monster Oogie Boogie in The Nightmare Before Christmas.
What have we here? Santa Claus, huh? Ooh, I'm really scared.
Page left St. Louis as a young man to pursue his acting career in New York, moved back in 2012. Mike Isaacson, artistic director of the Muni, counted Page as a collaborator and friend.
He was a singular talent and a singular human being. So the outpouring of grief that's happening is, it's not manufactured, it's real. He touched everyone he came in contact with.
Page appeared in more than 45 shows at the Muni, but even when he wasn't on stage, he was a nightly presence. Since 2013, he's recorded the welcome messages that audiences hear before a show.
Good evening, and welcome to the Muni's production of Les Miserables.
Page died Monday. He was 70. I'm Jeremy Goodwin, St. Louis Public Radio.
Because this may be the last time you hear the boogie song.
That's a voice that will undoubtedly live on. The state of Illinois has launched a marketing campaign that encourages people to start a career in manufacturing. It's called Make It in Illinois. Governor J.B. Pritzker says manufacturing has expanded and made a comeback in Illinois over the last decade, and he says the campaign will help find skilled workers to fill a growing number of job openings.
If Illinois builds and invests correctly, we can solidify our status as a global manufacturing hub while laying a sustainable foundation for generations to come.
The state is spending $5 million on the Make It in Illinois campaign. That includes money for billboards, social media ads, and direct engagement with colleges and community organizations statewide. St. Louis is issuing fewer tax incentives for development projects within the city. St. Louis Public Radio's Eric Schmid reports the drop comes after the pandemic and reforms to the incentive process.
Incentives are approved by both the Land Clearance for Redevelopment Authority Board and the Board of Aldermen. In 2017, 66 projects won incentives. That number dwindled to 11 in 2023. Zach Wilson is with the St. Louis Development Corporation, which scores and prepares incentive applications. He presented the figures to the Board of Aldermen's Housing, Urban Development, and Zoning Committee.
We've cut back on incentives quite a bit on projects that actually need it versus using it a lot often on maybe possible projects that didn't need it in the past.
Wilson says SLDC's new community benefits and financial scorecards implemented early last year have made it easier for the city to understand a specific project's benefits. I'm Eric Schmid, St. Louis Public Radio.
Treating lake and pond water with herbicides prevents stinky algae blooms, but the chemical-based treatments are only a short-term solution. As St. Louis Public Radio's Aula Kaziz reports, artificial floating wetlands in Missouri are a promising natural alternative for improving water quality.
An artificial floating wetland sways in a lake in the August A. Bush Memorial Conservation Area in St. Charles County. It's one of a dozen installed by the Missouri Department of Conservation over the past 2 years to help improve water quality in the state's lakes and ponds. Denise Otto is a fisheries biologist with the department. She says more private landowners should give this natural alternative a try.
There's a lot of landowners that have smaller ponds that struggle with water quality issues. They struggle with unwanted or nuisance plants. And it just goes back to a key nutrient, which is usually phosphorus or nitrogen.
The Department of Conservation is designing its own plastic-free floating wetland and plans to make it accessible to more people in the state. I'm Ula Kuziz, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis Public Schools Acting Superintendent Millicent Borichet is trying to address concerns about district enrollment, transportation problems, and finances. Borichet spoke about these issues with St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wembley.
It has really been a challenging time, but I feel fortunate to lead in a district where there are so many caring people. One of the things that I know is that challenges bring about opportunities for growth. And as I continue to say, we either win or we learn, and we've learned a lot.
How are projected enrollment numbers determined?
We get that number as far back as the year before. So April 2024, we would have had our projected numbers. That will include students who have tested in our gifted program. That will include students who have said they want to come to St. Louis Public Schools. And then when we start the school year, we look for all of those students who said they were coming. Then after a certain number of days, then they are no longer enrolled. And so that becomes the number that we report to DESE.
Can you speak to claims that you and or Keisha Scarlett tend to inflate projections and enrollment numbers?
It doesn't benefit us to inflate numbers. Students will register or be a part of the lottery and say they want to be a student. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to come, but they are counted in our projection.
There's been a lot of confusion and perhaps a lack of understanding about the district's projected $35 million deficit. How does the district go from having a $17 million surplus a year ago to now having a deficit?
There were COVID relief funds that have sunset at this time. And so now we are doing planned deficit spending where we know that we're going to be spending at least $11 million on transportation. We have $32 million that we're spending on competitive salaries. And then we have $6.5 million in new initiatives. And those new initiatives include Literacy for the Lou, our classroom libraries, our school libraries, and summer school took place for 6 weeks instead of 4. We also have Saturday school, which is for our students to ensure that they are getting the support that they need in order to maintain the credits for graduation. All of these new initiatives are done to benefit our students, all of them.
About how long do you think it'll take for this projected deficit to no longer be an issue?
We're projecting to do the planned deficit spending for at least 2 years.
People have been very critical of you, allegedly being close friends with Dr. Scarlett, as well as Dr. Scarlett allegedly hiring her friends out of Seattle unfairly. What can you say about the district's hiring practices? What is allowed and what isn't? And we do understand that there is an ongoing investigation into Scarlett's hiring practices.
So I'll say this. It is the expectation that all hiring is aligned to our district policy and our individual job postings. In cases where there's an interim that's needed, the interim provides stability during a time of change, and that is to ensure that our day-to-day practices or our day-to-day needs or operations run smoothly. So ultimately, our goal is to bring in people who are best suited for the job and making sure that they serve our students.
You guys hit the pavement running in recent months, having to put out fires after you were left without your main vendor, Missouri Central School Bus Company. Can you tell me about you guys' vendor vetting process? There have been concerns about some of the vendors having expired license plates, tags, some of the vendors running red lights.
Our vendor vetting process is something that I'm still learning about because that process started prior to me taking this role. With this experience, we have to have a contingency plan at all times. And we have to start the RFP process a lot earlier or extend contracts to those who are doing well for us.
For the vendors that did have expired license plates, how did you guys address that?
They can no longer drive for us. We're relying on everyone to help us get this right.
Thanks for joining us, Dr. Borchet.
Thank you.
That was St. Louis Public Schools Acting Superintendent Millicent Borchet speaking with St. Louis Public Radio reporter Lucretia Wimley. Last week, St. Louis Public Radio hosted NPR's Next Gen Radio, a program dedicated to finding, coaching, and training public media's next generation. Five emerging journalists spent an intensive week producing stories related to the meaning of home. This week, we're airing those stories. Food has always been more than just physical sustenance for Andrew Ring. For the St. Louis native, it's also been comfort. When Andrew began his job as a traveling nurse, his comfort food became a way to connect with others outside of the operating room.
Today, I did hand surgery. I did some skin grafts. We take a piece of another skin from another part of the body and then put that onto that part where it needs the graft. I really love sports medicine, so kind of the type of surgery where you do knee replacements, you do shoulder replacements. Those are my favorite surgeries, and my boyfriend gets really annoyed because I always say shoulders, and I love shoulders so much, which is weird, but everyone finds their niche, and that kind of became my niche in the OR. My name is Andrew Ring. I am a operating room nurse in the St. Louis area. I've been an operating room nurse for 3 years now. I've gone all over the country. It was great money, great experience. You get to see how different facilities operate. It really gave me a lot of empathy of how healthcare can be delivered. Most of the challenges that arose when I was traveling was not knowing anyone. So when I was homesick, I'd make a nice meal or look at my family's pictures that I had hung up everywhere and just feel like I was back in St. Louis. I missed pizza. I missed Emo's Pizza I love. I missed not being able to get Provel cheese at Costco. If you didn't know, I can get Provel cheese at Costco. I'd be like, okay, let's make my mom's favorite dish that I grew up with. Basic stuff. I mean, like, one of the classic meals is macaroni and cheese and weenies and beans. And I can just still feel like I'm at her kitchen table eating that. She always made cookies, and her best was the gooey butter cookies. There's always gooey butter cake at any function at my family's. It is pretty much glorified yellow cake, but it's delicious and it's obviously gooey. The good spatula. You don't bake the yellow cake mix like you would normally. So I guess it's homemade gooey butter cake, but it's box mix, so that's okay. You mix it with melted butter and a couple eggs, and it kind of makes a crust. And then you pretty much whip together like eggs, more butter and powdered sugar. How much is one stick of butter? And you put that filling on top and cream cheese.
Okay, put that all in the mixer. We're gonna stir her up.
a lot of people at the hospital opened up their doors and said, come to our family Thanksgiving. So I was thinking about, you know, all the good dessert. Gotta scrape all this ice. I really was like, okay, I want to make some gooey butter cake and bring it to this house and show all these Mainers. That's people from Maine.
You know, did your moms ever like let you like lick the bowl or whatever after,
you know, get the remnants?
When I showed the doorstep, I was like, okay, like these gooey butter cookies are gonna snap, and everyone loved them.
And we're starting now.
I did not think I was gonna come back to St. Louis. When I came back for Christmas break, I kind of started talking to my current boyfriend Nathaniel, and we just hung out like literally every single day. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna come back to St. Louis, and I was like, screw this, like I want to be with him, and I miss my family, I miss my friends, miss my town. And I know home isn't just a place for some people, it's a feeling, and it really is. So I had to remember that. I guess my definition of home would be the love, the energy that you get from all your family, all your friends, and whatever culture that lies within your area. And I think you take that wherever you go.
That story was produced by Hannah Artman with NPR's Next Gen Radio. You can learn more about the program and hear more stories on our website, stlpr.org. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. Also, I just wanted to say thanks to everyone who stopped by our St. Louis Public Radio welcome party yesterday afternoon. It was so wonderful to talk to so many of you, whether you're already a Gateway listener or maybe this is your first time checking it out. Thank you and welcome. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.